Okay, well, here we are once again for our little fireside chats. I meant to do this a couple of weeks ago, but unfortunately, Mother Nature came up and kind of bit me in the wrong end of my posterior and ended up having sort of this allergy slash head cold dilly and sounded more like a frog than anything else. And I figured you guys would at least want to be able to half-ass hear what I'm saying for those who give a flip. So I apologize for the tardiness of this podcast. I had intended for it to come out about a week and a half ago, but hey, better late than never, right? So what I'm going to be talking about, as indicated in the title of the podcast and sort of tangentially related vis-a-vis the little intro piece I did, was sort of just generally talking about American culture and sort of its attitude towards a variety of things that was sort of sparked by this series of events that went on in a small Ohio town that I'm sure all of you folks are by now painfully aware of and probably ridiculously sick of hearing about, so I won't belabor the point. I mean, to say that folks acted inappropriately is an understatement. The bigger issue for me, both as a person and as a mental health professional, is just that the general attitude of our society towards a lot of different things. So I'm going to be linking various aspects of our culture and subcultures together for my talks today. So most of you know the intro that I did was sort of a classic piece from the Guess Who, which featured as its original guitarist, main guitarist, as Randy Bachman. And yes, it is pronounced Bachman, not Bachman, for all of you guys and gals out there who thought it was Bachman. It's not. Well, it was much to my chagrin, too, because I prefer that pronunciation. But you know what? It ain't my name. I don't get to pick how I like to pronounce it, okay? Randy's a really, in my personal opinion, underrated guitarist, and really, really love his work, particularly with BTO. And heard some of the more recent stuff that he and Frank Turner, CF Turner, that F stands for Frank, got together recently and did a CD about 8 months ago, and have done some live gigs. And Frank has really lost a boatload of weight. I wouldn't have known him if I hadn't have seen a picture of him with his name under it. I've been going, who the heck is that? Because back in the original BTO days, he was kind of a hefty boy. But he has lost a tremendous amount of weight, and woohoo to him for doing that. I'm also very pleased to say that his voice still sounds amazing. He's got, in my personal opinion, one of the most iconically awesome voices in rock. And it was really cool because I have a recording of them doing a version of Mountains, Mississippi Queen. And CF Turner just nails the Leslie West thing. Oh my God, his vocals are the bomb. I just love them. Many of you may or may not know that Randy's early guitar days, at least during the Guess Who and some of the BTO stuff, was played on a Telecaster. In fact, so American Woman, the piece I just played, was done on telly, very much like the first two Zeppelin album recordings, which were also done on Telecasters, despite the fact that Jimmy Page played Les Pauls live. He has, from time to time, gone back and done Telecasters in the studio, along with his Dan Electro that he often plays when he's doing one of the more, what I would classify as, esoteric pieces, which he also did with The Firm on the Midnight Moonlight Lady and a couple of their kind of unusual songs. He plays the Dan Electro, most notably on Kashmir, when he was with Zeppelin, and that's what most of you guys will probably know if you ever see them, a video of them playing live. He's got the Dan Electro playing it live, so that's kind of cool. I also saw him playing the Dan Electro doing the Yardbirds slash Zeppelin, White Summer, Black Mountainside, or Black Summer, White Mountainside. I always get those two titles confused, but it's basically, kind of a rehashing of the same song, sort of a very Hindu influence, sitar influence kind of piece that Jimmy Page plays, which is really, really cool. That started out with his stint in the Yardbirds and then kind of carried over to the Zeppelin, early Zeppelin era. So another great guitar player, holy moly. But at any rate, I wanted to use sort of this incident that happened a couple of weeks ago in the Ohio town of Steubenville as sort of a jumping off point. I mean, obviously everybody knows, you know, as Mr. Mackey might say, that rape is bad and kind. You know, but what's more disturbing for me is not what the young men did, but it's a couple of aspects of it. First off, that the fact that several adults tried to, apparently, according to the newscast, and I'm just basing this on what I read, so if I get this incorrect, don't be like freaking out and going, oh my God. But, you know, the fact that a lot of several adults seem to kind of minimize it and like, oh, well, we'll take care of it. We'll sweep it under the rug, yada, 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 which I think has to do, you know, first of all, with obviously the adults not using good sense, they should know better. I mean, you know, this is what adults are supposed to be for, is to like provide kids with good role models, which, as many of you know, these days are fewer and less frequent to come upon and much, much more difficult to find as our society becomes much more of a me, immediate gratification, put it on the internet kind of stuff. But you'd think that adults, particularly those in supervisory positions such as teachers or coaches or, you know, therapists or priests or whatever, would know better. And so it, for me, it's particularly disturbing that folks who are supposed to be acting as role models are acting as very, if we can believe the reports of what we read, acting as very poor role models and actually illegal role models. The other thing, you know, that you think adults would know better, but this also ties to the other thing I was going to talk about, which is, you know, our apparently wanting to deify American heroes, whether they be rap heroes, sports heroes, historical figures, you know, rock and roll folks, whatever. You know, and we have a history of that. This isn't something that just came about, you know, recently. I think we have a tendency to over-deify what's known in psychology terms as the halo effect, which you sort of like minimize the bad stuff or even overlook it or deny that it even exists in people and sort of overgeneralize them and into these gods or goddesses when they are known for certain, you know, really cool things that they do that are very pro-social or very important in our history or whatever. So, you know, an example of that would obviously be these, you know, in a small town where you have athletes that are very much prized because that's the main modus of recognition in this community, that, you know, you're going to deify your sports heroes. They're going to be great and wonderful, and you're going to try to minimize anything that contradicts that false image. It's a false image. I mean, I don't care who you are, it's a freaking false image. If you don't believe it, go back to your history books and look up the history of Benjamin Franklin, right? Now, this guy was, you know, most of you guys know him as the kite guy with the kite and the key and the electricity and all that kind of good stuff. But those of you who are history freaks or American history freaks know that, you know, he was an ambassador early on to various foreign nations, France being predominant amongst them. And when he was over there being the foreign liaison diplomat to France, during his stay there, he had something like, and I don't know the exact count, but somewhere around 28 illegitimate children just in France alone. Okay, you don't hear about that stuff in history books because, oh no, we can't portray Benjamin Franklin as this, you know, libertine, you know, guy with no morals and just, you know, going around stupping everybody he can and having all these illegitimate kids that he doesn't give two flips about. Right, which I have serious issues with, but, you know, that's me. I've never liked, I suffer from some of the same, you know, delusions that a lot of Americans seem to suffer, which is, you know, if you're going to be out there as a role model, you can't be engaging in these kind of, you know, incredulous behaviors, which Ben Franklin clearly was doing, which is why I've never liked him and had any respect for him whatsoever, flipping ever. Despite the fact that he was a really good statesman and did a lot of great stuff for this country, and I'm not minimizing his contribution, but as a person, I frankly think he was a slut and had no morals whatsoever in regards to this kind of stuff. His politics were very, very shady, but, you know, that's true of every politician on the planet just about, so I'm not saying anything, you know, that you're like, well, you know, quelle surprise. Well, no, not really. You know, I have a very low opinion of most politicians, particularly nowadays, as my father used to say, we don't have statesmen anymore, we have politicians, and there is a huge difference in those two entities in my personal view, and of those of you who know what I mean, you'll probably be shaking your head going, yep, you got that shit right. At any rate, we have a tendency to want to deify, people like George Washington and Ben Franklin and, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or, Axl Rose or, LL Cool J or whomever our heroes happen to be. And we want to, Tiger Woods is another great example. We think these people are beyond sin. They're somehow superhuman because they do all these incredible things in their particular field of endeavor. And I'm certainly not minimizing any of those because some of the things that, people like Tiger Woods have done and some of the diplomatic liaisons that Ben Franklin made were very, essential for this country back in the day. And certainly Tiger Woods is a fabulous athlete. And you would be an idiot to deny that. And what I keep reminding folks is whether it's Tiger Woods or Axl Rose or, whomever, we're not reinforcing these guys for their bad behavior. These guys aren't getting paid to be misanthropes. These guys aren't being paid to be drug addicts. These guys aren't being paid to be assaultive people who assault girlfriends, boyfriends, jump on crowds in the middle of concerts, like certain people that used to play with the band Skid Row did, and that's a well-documented fact, so this is not slander, this is reality. There's videos of it. I won't mention any names. You all know who I'm talking about, those of you who know the incident. Or any of the stuff with Tiger Woods. But we forget that these guys are not being, and gals are not being reinforced for their misbehavior. They're being rewarded for their musical prowess, their athletic prowess, their political prowess, whatever. I think what some of these folks seem to forget, however, that comes with a huge, in my personal opinion, and this is just one guy talking, okay? So take what I'm saying with 15 grains of salt and put it in the cylindrical filing cabinet if you don't like it. But in my personal humble opinion, if you're out in the public face, you agreed to be a role model, whether you signed up for that job on the contract or not, when you signed the draft for the NBA or, for Atco Records or whatever, you are a role model. And in my personal opinion, whether you're a musician or the president or whatever, you have a moral and ethical responsibility as a role model not to do stupid shit, excuse my French. And if you're going to do it and don't get caught. Be smart about it, okay? Don't be a dumbass about it. And if you do it, don't act like you didn't do it. Don't come up with this bullshit about, oh, I did not have sex with that woman, and all kinds of crazy crap. I mean, bitch, please. Are you kidding me? Don't mince words. Don't try to, my version of, stealing is, no, we all know what stealing is. We all know what sex is. Don't try to, do jargonistic, nitpicking here. Just admit you screwed up. And if you're not sorry, don't say you're sorry. And if you are sorry, make as many amends as you can and move on with your life. But at least acknowledge it. Don't act like a dumb, don't be another dumbass role model by trying to lie about it. That's a horrible role model. And don't try to minimize it. That's another horrible role model. Right? And that's really what I'm talking about here, is people in public eyes being stupid and with their, miscreant behavior. And, we all do stupid stuff. I'm not suggesting I'm or anybody else is immune to this stuff. We all do stupid things. We all make mistakes. We're all human. None of us are God. None of us are perfect. I don't expect people to be perfect. But I expect if you're in the public eye or if you have a position of authority over youth or whatever, that you have a moral and ethical responsibility to act accordingly. And if you don't act accordingly, you need to do one of several things, in my personal opinion. A, either resign your position, or B, cover up as much as you can your stupid stuff, right, and minimize all your pathology as best possible, whether it's getting therapy, whether it's putting a lid on your head, whatever. And, or when you do something dumb and it becomes public knowledge, you need to own it, accept responsibility for it, make as many amends as you can, and move on with your life as best as you can, and give clear indications that you messed up, because all of us mess up. We all make mistakes. I do it on a daily basis, right? And oftentimes when I'm working with folks, I will use my own personal mistakes and pathology as, role models as to what you don't want to be doing. Right? And I'm very upfront about my stuff. I don't try to act like I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm not even close to being perfect. I'm so imperfect it's not even funny. I joked with somebody saying I'm perfectly imperfect, which is practically true. And I wish that weren't the case, but it is. So my problem is you know, that folks in role model positions act stupidly, particularly adults. And, you know, kids doing stupid stuff, you kind of go, okay, look, their prefrontal lobes are still developing, they're still growing, you know, they don't really get it. And it's up to us as adults to try to help them get it and not help them get it in a negative kind of way. And if you're, you know, aiding and abetting adolescent, you know, what I call dumb think and immediate gratification stuff, shame on your ass. And, you know, you need to take care of that and get the hell out of the field and do something that you're not influencing young people on, in my personal opinion, right? The other thing we need to do as Americans, and I think foreign, you know, folks in foreign countries, foreign to America, that is, you know, would agree that we are incredibly naive and just outright dumb about stuff. I mean, because this stuff's been going on forever and a frickin' day. And we as Americans seem to want to hold on to this Pollyanna view of our heroes that as if they're not human and therefore they're not capable of making mistakes, that they're almost godlike, and they're not. You know, people have good points, they have bad points, they have strong suits, they have weak suits. Right, there's no shame or indignity in that. There's no crime in that unless you don't manage your stuff and it turns into a crime, right? And I, you know, as adults, I think we have even a personal moral responsibility to take care of our crap, or at least to try to circumvent it as much as possible and try to, you know, make amends when we mess up as much as possible. And that's the problem I'm really having. The other problem I'm really having with this whole situation is our tendency to like to blame the victim, right? So, and again, this is not unique to this particular case. And when we saw it, you know, how many years ago when the jogger in New York got accosted by the group, this gang of boys, I think, and I don't remember the exact specifics of the case. This was probably 15, 20 years ago. This woman was jogging in Central Park, and she got accosted by a gang of boys or men or whatever. And I don't know if she was, I can't remember if she was raped or beat up or both or whatever, you know. And people were like, well, she should have known better than to jog in Central Park at that time of day, or she should have known better than to wear scanty clothes. And she, you know, what are you going to jog in? A freaking, you know, fur coat? I mean, give me a freaking break. Okay. And that's not to say that people don't do stupid stuff, okay? They don't, you know, that they don't go into, quote-unquote, bad parts of town after dark where they have no freaking business being, you know, either through naivete or downright stupidity or just bravado or whatever. You know, people who carry large sums of money on them around town and, you know, then they get mugged and they're shocked, oh, my God. Well, you know, dumbass, don't carry a lot of money with you. But, again, I'm going to say, you know, all of us do stupid stuff. You know, I mean, there was a time when I went to New York for a psychopharmacology convention, and the convention got out about 6:30, and I was walking around town, downtown, you know, in parts of New York near Ground Zero, actually, trying to look for a restaurant that was open to do something kind of cool, right? And I'm walking around, and I'm, you know, walking for an hour and a half looking for something, and I don't see anything that, you know, flips my switch, and I'm walking around town, and suddenly I realize it's like 7:30, quarter to 8 at night. It's pitch black. I have no flipping idea where I am, and I'm wearing a diamond ring on one hand with an expensive Rolex watch and a jade ring in the other with, you know, about $150 in my pocket. And I just realized, dude, you're being a dumbass. You have no flipping idea where you are. How do you know you're not in this horribly dangerous zone, right? And it was nighttime. It was kind of cold. I don't remember what time of year it was, but I remember I had this big black leather coat on with black gloves on so you couldn't see my ring or watch or anything. So I remember stuffing my hands in my pockets, getting all nervous, realizing what a dummy I'd been, and going, okay, now you got to make it back to the hotel and just suck it up and eat hotel food and just deal with it. It's not like it was a bad hotel, but, you know, I wanted to eat something kind of cool and local. Well, oh, no. Now, this boy stuck his hands in his pockets, got his best, I'm pissed off, don't fuck with me, look on my face, and kind of hurriedly walked like I was late for a meeting but not running so as to attract too much attention from the locals. And, you know, went 10 blocks or whatever I was from the hotel. And thankfully, I didn't have an incident. You know, but it would have been really easy for folks to come up to me and do something nasty and, you know, steal my money or beat me up or kill me or whatever. You know, and people would have gone, well, dumbass, you should have known better. Well, you're right, I should have known better. But you know what? I didn't. I made a mistake. I got dissociative looking at the sights, and I fucked up. Bottom line. Okay? And I was lucky. Other folks aren't that lucky. And my whole point here is, you know, particularly with this situation with this couple of weeks ago in Ohio, you know, people are going, well, you know, this particular female, and this is according to my understanding. So again, don't, you know, get your lawyers to contact me. Okay. I'm just reporting my understanding of the case. Right, that people are like, oh my God, that you know, that person deserved it because that person used to goes to parties all the time, and her friend said she gets drunk and passes out, doesn't know what she's doing, and has blackouts and yada yada yada. Okay, well, I hear that, and yes, that's dumber than dog poop behavior. It's ridiculous. You obviously have a drinking problem or a drug problem or whatever, or an emotional problem, what the fuck ever, and you need to get help. Okay, well, duh. Okay, sue me. Right, you got a problem and you're not getting help and you're enabling your problem, and that's different from what? That's different from me walking around New York stupidly doing shit. Now, I didn't do it a second time, okay? So, you know, I did learn from my one dumbass mistake. Most of the time, I'm a pretty good one-trial learner. But, you know, sometimes I do stupid stuff repeatedly. And you know, life has to kind of kick me in the butt going, hello, McFly, wake up. Hello, is anybody home? You know, and sometimes I get it, and sometimes it takes multiple times for me to get it. And just because somebody does a dumb thing doesn't give somebody else the right to take advantage of it. And that's my whole point. Just because the chick was, you know, jogging in Central Park after dark or near dark or whatever the situation was, and those guys raped her because she was being stupid about, you know, jogging in a place where she probably would have been better not jogging, doesn't give other people license to take advantage of somebody's naivete or stupidity. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. When did we get this dumbass idea that one stupid behavior deserves another one? I mean, please, are you kidding me? And then, you know, we already discussed this a couple of podcasts ago, but then we're going to make even a more stupid idea. We're going to film it on our iPhones or smartphones, whatever. We're going to videotape it. We're going to email it across. Oh, please, are you kidding me? I mean, that's like beyond dumb. You're going to text to your buddies, oh yeah, I just raped this chick in Central Park. Oh yeah, I just broke into my neighbor's house and stole their, you know, real expensive Blu-ray DVD player from France. Or I mean, yeah, I just stole my cousin's Les Paul out of his home because he was drunk on his ass and he passed out and I took his Les Paul and broke his window. Now I've got this $10,000 Les Paul made back in 1968. Please, are you kidding me? I mean, please, you know, and I said this before on the social media thing when I was doing my little social media rant and rave, right? If you're going to be dumb, don't publicize it. Don't make a second even dumber mistake by publicizing your stupidity. Are you kidding me? Right? And again, I'm not trying to say, well, you know, if you do a dumb thing, well, the thing to do is to hide it. The thing to do is not to broadcast it to humanity and expect to get rewarded for it. That's the really dumber thing. Oh yeah, this is really cool. Watch me have sex with somebody who's passed out. Oh my Lord. One of my buddies was telling me there's actually an entire pornography genre. I think he referred to it as sleep creeping, where people take, you know, these so-called date rate drugs or get uber drunk and kind of spaced out and blacked out, and so they're still doing their thing, but they're essentially unconscious on their feet, kind of like a boxer out on his feet, but he's still boxing, and they're having sex, and, you know, there's like all kind of porn things, like fetishes with that. And I mean, I don't get that at all. I mean, first of all, and you know, again, no offense to anybody, I don't want to have sex with a dead body. I don't want to have sex with a passed out body, right? I want some movement. I want some life, okay? I want some joie de vivre, right? That's too much like necrophilia to me, and I don't do dead people, right? You know, something about that leaves me cold, right? Boom. Yeah, I know. My jokes suck. What can I tell you? So, you know, my name is not Edgar Allan Poe, and I don't get off on that shit. So I just never understood the whole, you know, concept of how that is somehow appealing to have sex with somebody who's drunk on their ass and they're puking in the toilet and you're having sex with them at the same time in another body orifice. I mean, I don't get it. And I had a buddy whose brother did that at a party one time, and I'm just like, oh no, oh no, shut the door. I don't want to see that crap. Are you kidding me? I mean, true story. I'm not joking. I'm just like, oh my Lord. And they were like, oh yeah, that was so cool. Well, if that had been back in the day, that was, you know, BC, before cell phones, but well, before smart cell phones, right? And I'm sure that if this guy had had a smartphone, he'd have been, taking pictures of this, you know, and video and sending them, emailing them and putting them on YouTube and like, oh, check this out. Oh my Lord. I just don't get it. I mean, I really, really, and I don't say it to be mean. I really, 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 did I mention really? Really don't get it. But, you know, whatever flips your boat sexually, you know, is up to you and God and, you know, whatever. But just don't publicize it, okay? Don't put it on the YouTube. You know, don't bring your pet donkey in and videotape yourself on YouTube, okay? Don't make an ass out of yourself, right? Ba-doom. Okay. Alrighty, would you please shut up with the damn ass jokes, okay? You know, and so part of this is, you know, adults should have known better. Adults need to please use some, you know, judicious reasoning here. And if you don't have it, you know, defer to somebody who does, right? And where are the parenting of these kids? Both the so-called person that was, you know, having drinking problems, blanking out, going on to parties. How come parents don't know about this shit? Are you kidding me? Right? And I have parents in my practice who go, oh, I didn't know my kid. I didn't want to go and invade on my kid's privacy. Well, we're not talking about invasion of privacy. But if you have a kid, there are a lot of predators out there. Know what your kid's doing. I'm not saying micromanage your kid and, you know, implant, you know, microchips behind their ear and, you know, track them on a GPS to parties. But even if you have this great kid, right, your kid may not be doing anything knowingly dumb, but your kid may be posting stuff on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or whatever. And you've got a lot of very nasty predator people out there. And again, I talked about this on a previous podcast, but I think this, you know, this needs to be repeated because obviously the people in this Ohio case didn't listen to my podcast, didn't get it. So maybe if I get it out to enough people and say it enough times, somebody will talk to somebody who will talk to somebody who will talk to somebody and go, dude or honey, don't be doing that crap, okay? I heard this crazy guy on this podcast say, right, and the crazy guy's right, so don't be doing that shit. But where are the parents? Why aren't you monitoring your kid? How come you don't know your kid's going out and getting drunk every freaking night? Are you kidding me? Are you that clueless? Do you not give a shit? Are you not that? Don't even get me started about parenting these days because I think most parents don't know a squat about it. And part of that's because we do a crappy job as a society, and that means you and me, of teaching people how to parent, right? And then you have a lot of parents who are stuck in this me, 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 I want kids for me, and it'll make me feel better if I have a kid. And you know, they're not thinking about all the crap that comes along with kids, and they have no clue how to parent because either they were, you know, Molly, you know, pure heart or whatever, and never did anything wrong, and they expect their kids not to have wrong. Their kids are out doing crappy shit, and so they're not micromanaging them, and they're stupidly believing their kids' hype. Check up on your kids every now and then. Even if they're the greatest kid on the planet, just every now and then, do a checkup on them. Look who they're dating. Look who they're hanging out with friends. Look what kind of activities they're doing. Check up on some of these kids from time to time. And like I said, even if you have a great kid who has awesome grades, who you think doesn't do drugs, or maybe you know doesn't do drugs or whatever, make sure they're not doing something stupid on the net where they're getting, you know, attracting attention of stalkers or whatever, because there's all kinds of folks out there, and too many kids are putting too much information on the net where they can be, you know, easily tracked and abducted or whatever, taken advantage of in some way, shape, or form. So please, you know, if you're a parent, talk to your kids. Don't neglect talking to your kids. If you think your kids know it, say it anyway. This is the kind of stuff that you know, is okay to repeat two or three times and to be so repetitious in your linguistics with your kids. You know, talk about drinking. Talk about sex. Don't act like if you talk about it, you're encouraging it. That's bullshit. Educate your kids about what's appropriate interpersonal behavior and what's not appropriate interpersonal behavior. Teach your kids about personal boundary space. Boundaries. Those are really important. Role model important boundaries as responsible adults. And if you don't know what you're doing, go to somebody who does and get them to teach you. Right? I do a lot of parent education with my folks. And even parents who really have the best intention on the planet, who want to be the best parents in the world, but you know they grew up in a very sheltered home where their parents weren't really good, and somehow they're trying to do the best they can, or maybe their parents were awesome and they were just great kids who did everything they were supposed to do and never had any problems, and then for whatever reason they had a genetic brain fart as a kid. Maybe they married somebody who had funky stuff in their gene pool or whatever, right? And now they have no clue what to do with this kid because this kid is like freaking out and doing all kinds of crazy shit the parents would never do because the parents are too nice and honorable and yada yada. So they don't have the parenting skills. They have no idea what to do, and what they're doing isn't working. Right, I'm working with parents right now that are like that. You know, they're awesome people. They're both awesome, awesome, awesome people. But they've got some kids that, you know, that they don't know what they're doing with, and that's why they came to me. And woohoo for them, you know, kudos for them for doing it, right? That's smart behavior. When you don't know what you're doing and you don't know that you don't know what you don't know, that's smart, right? That's not dumb. That's smart behavior to then go help for. There's nothing. There's no shame in getting help. Holy shoes. I mean, you know, it's like being ashamed to go in and getting your car worked on when you don't know shit about auto mechanics, like me, right? I'm not embarrassed by how dummy I am about cars. I'm the first guy in line telling you I don't know crap about cars. Honestly, neither do I want to know anything about cars, which is why I have good auto mechanics that I take them to and go, fix this shit. I don't want to know what's wrong with it. Tell me how much I owe you. Fix it right the first time. I'll come pick the car up and say thank you very much and write you a check, okay? Don't be stupid. If you know you don't know something, go to somebody who does, right? And if you see your kids running the house, that they're the parents and you're not, you're just the boarders paying all the rent, right? And the kid is essentially running the house, the kid's in charge. Figure out, listen to some of your friends. And if your friends are being dumbasses and doing the same shit, look at people whose kids are running in their house and ask yourself, what's different about that? And if you don't know, just do a spot check. Come talk to somebody like me. I'll tell you whether you're doing a good job or not, and I make no bones about it. I'm nice. I don't say, look, you suck, you know. But I definitely tell people when they don't know what they're doing, I'm pretty upfront about it. Right? It doesn't do me any good to lie to people, right? These people who lie to their patients or clients or whatever and stroke their egos so they can continue to see them and make money, I have no use for either. To me, that's like immoral as hell. But unfortunately, that's how a lot of people in my business operate. And I'm not saying that from hearsay. I'm saying that because I know. I've seen them. I've heard them talk at workshops and conventions and stuff, and I just find that abhorrent, right? Your job is not to stroke your bank account, or at least if it is, it's to stroke it honorably, not stroke it where you're lying to people and just keeping people in the loop endlessly for nothing, telling them what they want to hear. That's, oh my God, don't even get me started about that shit. Anyway, and I thought that there was an article that got sent to me by a friend of mine who evidently it's a letter that that this woman wrote to her kids who are uber young, too young to know about rape, but wrote this really cool letter to her kids to be read later on, and it was just the most awesome letter. I really, 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 really applaud that mother for doing that. That was so awesome. This is right, preventative medicine. It's prophylaxis medicine. You know, we should be doing stuff preventatively rather than building the dam after the flood comes in and washes our homes away, right? Doing damage control. But if the best you can do is damage control, then let's do damage control, which is what I'm trying to do now, you know, as a result of all this crap that happened, right? But be smart. It's better to prevent something than it is to do damage control. And that's no profound statement. Anybody who knows anything about that, right, knows that that's true. That didn't take, you know, 15 years of school or, you know, a genius IQ to figure that shit out, right? But we need to be educating people. We need to be teaching people this shit in our school. We need to be teaching people what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, right? What is appropriate sexual behavior? What is not appropriate sexual behavior? What are some things to do if you're going to have sex? What are some preventative measures? We have way too many unwanted kids in this country. We have way too many sexually transmitted diseases in this country, right? There's ways to prevent that. There's ways to diminish that. There's ways to avoid some of that stuff. Why aren't we teaching this to our kids? You know, all these so-called moral majority people, oh, if you teach sex education in the school, you're going to be encouraging it. Oh, bullshit. Get a clue, right? No, you're not encouraging it. You're just educating kids, right? I talk to drug addicts about drugs, right? I'm not encouraging them to do drugs. I don't like drugs, right? But I'll tell you the truth, and I've said this is to a lot of people. If I had the power, and I know people are going to freak out when you hear this, but, you know, just grab your gird your loins and grab your chairs and, you know, take your heart medication. I'm warning you in advance, okay? I'm doing some preventative medicine here, guys and gals, right? I don't do drugs. I've never done drugs illegal drugs. I do drink on rare occasions. That's a drug, so that's really kind of a lie. I drink occasionally. I've never been drunk. That's the truth. I've never done anything other than alcohol, an occasional pipe, an occasional cigar, very, very occasional. What else have I done? Oh, tea and coffee, which has theophylline and caffeine in it. That's it. Okay, I don't do any other quote unquote psychoactive drugs. On rare occasions, I eat sugar, but not very often. And don't laugh, that's a drug. That's the worst abused drug in our planet, but it's another story. But in terms of what most people consider drugs like LSD, hallucinogens, amphetamines, barbiturates, sedative hypnotics, yada, 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 narcotic analgesics, all that kind. I don't do any of that shit, never have, right? Because I'm a control freak, right? And you're not in control if you do that shit. And let's face it, I'm a pussy. Okay, I'm a pussycat. I'm scared, right? I don't want to do that stuff because I'm afraid that I'm going to get addicted or something bad is going to happen. Because as you guys have heard me say during my addictions podcast that I did many moons ago, addictions run on both sides of my family. And I'm nuts enough without that shit. I don't need any help. Thank you very much. I can be crazy without that stuff. And I don't need an addiction problem on top of the other crap that's wrong with me, okay? So I wouldn't do drugs if somebody gave them to me, right? I just wouldn't. However, having said that, if I had the power, I would legalize every frickin' drug on the frickin' planet tomorrow. And I'll tell you why I would do that. And for all you parents who are going, oh my God, right? Let me tell you, and I'm not encouraging people to use drugs. Do not mishear me. But here's why I would legalize all drugs on the planet. A, you would completely almost bankrupt the mafia and any other organized crime organization, period, end of story. If you legalized drugs, if you legalized prostitution, which I would also legalize, oh my God, and I know I'm not encouraging prostitutes, never have been to a prostitute, never would go to a prostitute, not interested, don't care, but I don't care, I would legalize it, right? If you legalize prostitution, if you legalize drugs, and if you legalize gambling, and no, I don't gamble, never would gamble, and yes, I'd legalize all three of those. If you did that, you would completely obliterate almost completely organized crime. They would all go bankrupt. All the street gangs would go under. They would have nothing to make money on. They would have no drugs. They would have no sex. They'd have no gambling. They'd be done. End of story. Right? You want to get rid of crime? Legalize those three things and put them under government control. Do like the Romans did with the prostitutes. Make them accountable to the state. Make them have a license. Make them go in for regular checkups. You would decrease the spread of, you know, contagious diseases, yada, yada, yada. You legalize drugs, you're going to get rid of crime. Because let's face it, people, what you're really talking about here is trying to legislate morals. You're trying to make morality legal or illegal, and it ain't going to work. It's never worked. It's ridiculous. It's a stupid idea. You cannot legislate morality. And the more you tell people not to do shit, the more they're going to want to do it. In fact, that's such a common sense dilly that just seems to evade a lot of people. It's so, how common sense is it? It's so common sense that even John Fogerty, formerly of Creedence Clearwater Revival, back in the 60s, wrote lyrics, right, to that effect, right? Susie may give you some cherry pie, you lodge, you know that ain't no fun, you'd rather steal it and eat it on the run. Bootleg, right? Listen to the lyrics, guys. Lyrics are truth in a lot of cases. So John Fogerty knew that forbidden fruit back in the day was the most tempting, particularly for teenagers, right? You make something legal, it's not fun anymore. It's not scary. It's not dangerous. Oh, my God. Oh, gee, I don't want to do that shit anymore, right? And besides, the drugs that cause the most death in America, bar none, cigarettes and sugar, are both legal. Okay, so let's be honest with ourselves. We can't control those. We can't control alcohol. We figured that out already. We tried prohibition back in the day. That didn't work either. Okay, so let's be honest. This isn't about we're trying to make America safe or the world safe or what. No, bullshit. This is about money and this is about power and control. Get rid of all that crap and you would get rid of the money and the control and put drugs under the control of the federal government like you do legalized marijuana, medicinal marijuana. Make all drugs that way. Make them all legal. Go to the quote-unquote drugstore and sell drugs and license drug, you know, yada. Because let's face it, people that are going to do them are going to do them. End of story. And you're going to decriminalize them because the other thing you're going to do is you're going to wipe out about a third to a half of the population's in prisons. They're in there for drug usage. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're going to put somebody in prison because you don't like their lifestyle? Are you freaking kidding me? And I'm not talking about these massive guys that, you know, import, you know, kilos of coke from Venezuela or whatever. I'm talking about the guys and gals that are in prison or in jails for smoking weed or, you know, using coke or whatever, and they're doing it in their homes or they're doing it in the backs, whatever, okay? Again, I'm not, you know, encouraging any of that stuff. I don't believe in drugs. I think they're ridiculous. But sugar's legal, and that has a horrible health toll in money. You talk about money drain in our society? Oh, my frickin' God, right? You don't believe me? Watch, I think it's a Showtime special, The Weight of America, and you'll never eat sugar again if you have half a brain in your head, which I think most Americans don't have anyway, but that's another story. But watch it. I don't know if it's HBO or Showtime or whatever. It's freaking awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And it talks about the obesity problem and directly correlates it with sugar intake, which is absolutely true. Sugar and tobacco kill more people every year in America than all of the drugs times 10. Okay, if you take tobacco, that's just my guess. Don't quote me on the stats. That's my own guess. But here is a statistical valid point. Cigarettes, nicotine, right? Cigarette smoke, inhaling cigarettes, secondhand smoke, yada, yada, kill more people every year than all of the drugs combined, including alcohol, which you consider drugs like alcohol, pot, coke, crack, whatever, right? They kill, cigarettes alone kill more people than all of the drugs combined times 3 every single day. You want to outlaw a drug? Get rid of cigarettes. Right? This isn't like one sin is greater than another. Okay, you smoke cigarettes, that's a drug, we'll let you slide. You smoke pot, oh no, you're going to jail. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. What's wrong with this picture? That's called hypocrisy, in my personal opinion. Okay, this is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Right? You want to get rid of crime, you want to decriminalize stuff, you want, and point number 3, the government will make a shitload of money off of it. We don't have to invent wars with so-called, you know, weapons of mass distraction. That's what I call it because that's what it is. No offense to people. You know, everybody knows, you know, that governments and people in governments are corrupt at some level. I mean, this is like not going to be any duh to anybody, right? I'm not going to go on my tirade about, you know, countries confabulating wars to make money, yada, yada. I'm not going to go there, right? You guys, most of you folks who aren't smart already know that shit, so I don't have to tell it to you. And if you don't, shame on you. Do some research and you'll find it out. Not my place to talk about that. This is not an anti-government dilly, right? But you want the government to make money responsibly? Tax drugs, tax prostitution. You'll make a boatload of money off of it, just like you do off cigarettes and off alcohol. They're no different. Tax gambling. You want to charge gambling casinos a fee to operate. You know, I mean, please. You're going to make so much money you won't know what end is up. You won't have a deficit. You won't have any of this stuff. You won't have to tax the shit out of people and put all these stupid-ass taxes on people and the kind of crazy stuff. It's ridiculous, in my personal opinion, right? So you're getting rid of organized crime, which means you're going to free up tons of tax dollars spent on the war on drugs, which you're not going to win ever because you're trying to moralize something that is a moral and personal choice issue. You know, it's like criminalizing sex, which you essentially do with prostitution. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, in my personal opinion. Oh, my freaking God. I mean, Americans are stupid. I mean, let's face it, we're dumb. You know, we're not even dumb and think we can, like, moralize everything and scare the crap out of people and make them do what we want to do. Well, you know what? That shit's never worked. History proves that stuff. It just doesn't work. And we have ample evidence of people who've tried to scare the crap out of people using religion, and you saw where that ended up. Places like Jonestown, right? Places like, you know, the Branch Davidians, okay? But don't even get me started about that stuff. So the lesson today, kiddies, in case you've forgotten, and adults too, own your own stuff. Know your pathology. Fix it if you've got it, or hide it to the best of your ability, particularly if you're in public office or if you're a rap star, or rock star, or athlete or whatever. And if you're a coach or a priest or a teacher or whatever, you know, if you do stupid shit, admit it to your charges. Tell them it's dumb. Tell them you don't want to do it, and this is how you want to avoid it. I mean, to me, it's like people who do addictions counseling who smoke cigarettes, and there's a ton of them out there, let me tell you, right? Which is why one of the many reasons I lambast the crap out of AA people, because you go to any AA meeting, they're all drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes like crazy. It's only been in the last 10 or 15 years that they've had smokeless AA sessions, right? We already know from research that if you continue to smoke cigarettes, right, we know this from an American, the JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, did a study back in the 70s or early 80s, I don't remember which, where they followed a bunch of people who kept smoking cigarettes, and I think there were physicians who were also alcoholics who quit. So one group quit both cigarettes and alcohol. One group quit the alcohol. Said, "Oh my God, I can't stop smoking." Well, guess what happens? The people that didn't stop smoke both at the same time were 10 times more likely to relapse to alcohol if they continued to smoke cigarettes. Hello, McFly. Right? Why are you allowing smoking? Oh, well, that's not really an addiction. Yeah, right. And I don't really have long hair. It's just a delusion of your imagination, right? Oh, please. And I just love it the way we like to make excuses for our crap and then expect people to buy it. And you know what we do, which is why I think a lot of foreign countries think we're idiots and you know, naive, which frankly I think we are. You know, and obviously I'm one of them, so it's not like I'm just slamming other people. I'm slamming myself too here, right? Wake up, people. Teach your kids, parent your kids. If you're in a position of authority over kids, role model appropriate behavior, or at least preach appropriate behavior and talk about how you as a role model are screwing up and what you're trying to do to fix it, or, you know, don't emulate me, you know? I mean, please, right? If you're a parent, do your frickin' J-O-B. Don't expect the church to do it. Don't expect the school to do it. Don't expect your therapist to do it. Don't expect TV and internet to do it. Monitor what your kids are doing. Be aware of what your kids are doing. And I don't mean be the vulture waiting for the dead meat to rot so you can eat it, but monitor your kids. And if your kids have pathology that you already know of, whether it's uber major depression, bipolar disorder, alcoholism, ADHD, whatever, now you got to monitor them even more. Oh, you didn't sign up for that as a parent? Well, tough toenails. You should have thought of that before you had your kids, okay? Sucks to be you, but get off your butt and do your J-O-B and don't expect other people to do it, right? That is not a good role model to show your kids. You know, take some responsibility. Stop blaming other people. That's the other message of this podcast. Stop looking for other people to blame for your pathology. Oh, well, I wouldn't have, you know, had sex with that girl if she hadn't been wearing real good shorts and she didn't have cute legs and wasn't running by me in Central Park. Oh, yeah, please. Have some self-control. Are you kidding me? Remember, one person's dumbass behavior doesn't sanction another person's irresponsible or dumbass or, in some cases, illegal behavior, and certainly doesn't do anything except show that person to be a dumbass who's doing it at the time, just like me walking around New York City at 7:30 at night with a bunch of money and jewelry on. I mean, oh my Lord. Okay, please. And thank God the universe, you know, was looking out for me or what. Okay, you know, this guy's a dumbass. We get it. We're just going to, like, put a, you know, a bubble around him until he gets back to his hotel room. I mean, I joke about it, but I was really, really fortunate. But, you know, I haven't done that since then. I was like, okay, I got it. I'm a dummy. I get it. I'm back to the hotel. Thanks. I'm not doing that again. Thank you, God. Okay. We need to learn from stuff. Right? We need to learn from our mistakes and grow from them. We don't need to lambast the crap out of people. We don't need to blame the victim. We don't even need to blame the perpetrators. We need to educate perpetrators. We need to educate people because, frankly, I think all of society is to blame for this, which means you and me. Right? It's not just the teenagers that do these things or the adults that do these things. Right? It's society not preparing people. We're looking for too many excuses for our stuff. We're looking for too many people to blame. We're looking to pop a pill and take the easy way out. We're not looking to do that nasty four-letter word work. Oh, my God, I said it again on yet another podcast. I know you guys are probably rolling your hands and barfing in the toilet now, but you know what? Tough toenails. You don't get something for nothing. You don't get freedom for free. You don't get wise with the sleep still in your eyes, no matter what your dream might be. Thank you, Neil Peart. And on that note, no! I'm taking off for today. I will be back with another podcast very soon, unless Mother Nature bitch smacks me again and I can't talk for a while, which hopefully that won't be happening. Please, people, use some decent common sense. And if you don't have it, talk to somebody who you think does and keep talking until you find somebody that gives you a bright answer. If you have pathology, fix it, circumvent it, put a lid on it, work around it, find a creative outlet for it, do whatever. But don't foist your crap on other people. And if you make mistakes, own it. Don't try to blame other people and don't try to lie about it, particularly if you're in the public eye. Shame on you for doing that crap. Thank you very much for listening. Live well, live awesomely, live healthily. Or as the Vulcans might say, live long and prosper. Later.